So I'm chatting with Gemma Gilley. Gemma, can you tell us how it was whenever that second earthquake hit the city?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here for about 10 days now, and in that time there have been around 3 aftershocks that have been significant, you know, around 3 or 4 on the scale. So we're used to them, and we've had training in what to do. So when today happened, it actually started out quite small, and so we all just kind of thought it was another aftershock. So we did what we've been trained to do, which is jump under the tables or get outside into the open. Our operations room for this response is actually on the top floor of our office, so it's 6 floors up on the roof. So I and one of my colleagues jumped outside when it happened, and it just got worse and worse, and I've never felt anything like that. The whole building was swaying, and it went on for what felt like hours. And you could hear people screaming in the streets. Like, it was really, really scary. Part of our roof started to fall in. It was horrible.
That sounds horrific. I mean, like, having the whole building swaying underneath you. And I mean, how did you feel in terms of, was there panic in the fact that you were up on the top floor of a building?
Yeah, that was all that was going through my mind, was that, oh my gosh, you know, if this goes down, I don't stand a chance. You know, there was nothing to do. I couldn't have run down the stairs because, you know, there was debris falling, and that would be just as dangerous. What we're told to do is stand in the open so that you can't be hit by any debris falling or get under a table. And so I just ran outside, clung on to my colleague for dear life. Like, we just held each other and hoped for the best. But I have never felt fear like that in my life.
You were going out there as part of the relief effort. How much of a shock was it that this was hitting you just as hard as the first earthquake in the first place?
It was a real shock, if I'm honest. You know, we expect aftershocks. We know that that's part of what happens. In terms of geography, we know that's what happens after an earthquake, that there are aftershocks. But we really, really didn't expect anything on this scale. And for me, once the earthquake had stopped and we'd gone outside, the biggest impacts and things that I noticed was just how traumatised the national staff were. They've only just gone through this 2.5 weeks ago, and here they are going through the same thing again. And just, you could see the fear in their eyes. They'd only just started to feel normal again. A lot of them had only just moved back into their homes because they'd been too scared to do that up until now. They'd been camping outside in case another one hit. So for a lot of people, it's a huge psychological setback because they just don't feel safe anymore.
I can't even begin to comprehend what it must be like whenever you start to feel, you know, the earth literally go from underneath you. What is now the next step for you guys as a group of Save the Children, try to pick up and try and help those people a second time over again?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a much better place than we were 2.5 weeks ago because we've already been responding, and, you know, we'd already reached 70,000 people as part of this response over the last 2.5 weeks. So we've got stocks placed all around the country in warehouses, you know, really life-saving items like tents, like water, like health kits, everything that people need in the immediate aftermath. We had a plane arrive from the Philippines 2 days ago with 44 tons of aid. So we're in a good place to respond. The issue is access. You know, we were already working in some of the hardest to reach areas that are very remote, that was requiring our team to trek for up to 2 days just to reach them, some places that we could only reach by helicopter. And following today's earthquake and the subsequent landslides, reaching those communities is going to be even harder now, and that's going to be our challenge.